Hi and welcome back to the show. Today I am joined by Matheson Muller. He is the founder and director of Apex Outsourcing. It's a really, really great conversation I have with Matheson today. It's, you know, I go through it all in the introduction, so I won't go through it here. But he's a young guy. He's just getting set up in outsourcing. He's just moved over from New Zealand into the Philippines, and he's giving this outsourcing an amazing shot. And really an inspirational story of the journey of entrepreneurship and how Matheson is going to make his mark in business and on outsourcing. So really great conversation with Matheson. As always, if you're on any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. Enjoy. This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from offshore business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you are already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your offshore operations. The Outsource Accelerator Marketplace now covers over 3,000 outsourcing firms, representing a global workforce of over 5 million people. We also host this leading outsourcing podcast, publish Inside Outsourcing, and have over 15,000 pages of content on the site. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Also, if you find this podcast interesting or valuable, please share it. We have now produced hundreds of episodes featuring the outsourcing world's most prominent luminaries. Please show your support by sharing this podcast today. Matheson, I'm really excited to talk to you, actually. We've been chatting just before the podcast. What I didn't mention is I actually grew up in New Zealand myself. I grew up in Hamilton from the ages of 3 until 18. And so it's good to see a fellow Kiwi in the outsourcing game. There are a few. I don't know if you know the other Kiwis in outsourcing, but there's not enough. So it's good to have you in the industry. So Matheson, you're a young guy, if you don't mind me saying, you're 24 years old. I started my entrepreneurial journey when I'm 24. So, you know, congratulations. I really give it to you for getting on the roller coaster that is outsourcing. Maybe, and you've started an outsourcing firm, which is also, you know, fantastic. So maybe you can introduce yourself. You can do it far better than I can, and introduce Apex as well, and what brought you to this situation.
So my name's Matheson Muller. I grew up in Wellington. It's the capital city of New Zealand. It's just a small capital, population of 500,000. So I actually grew up there all my life. Throughout my journey, I studied in Auckland at Massey University. And I actually founded Apex Outsourcing. And it was related to two main factors, that being growing up, I was quite entrepreneurial. And I wanted to stand out. The general norm for my age, being a 24-year-old male, is to go into dropshipping, invest into cryptos and stocks, but I wanted to do something different and stand out. Now, I was very fortunate because I went to university, but I never actually passed. I failed. I moved back to Wellington to move back into my parents, and I just started off going back into laboring. All my previous jobs I'd been doing was laboring in a construction site. And I managed to score myself a job as an entry-level foreman at the age of 21. Now, what was interesting about that is I was learning how to manage a team. And that team that I had the privilege to manage was actually a group of Filipinos that had moved from the Philippines to New Zealand to work in construction. Because in New Zealand, it's not a very big country. It's only a population of 5 million. And we generally have labor shortages. So I got to experience the firsthand experience with managing Filipinos, you know, communicating with them. And the one thing that always really stood out with working with Filipinos was the work ethic, the showing up early, working extremely hard, and, you know, the last one to leave, wanting to work every day, weekends, Sundays, etc. By then, by the age of 22, I had moved to a new company to work as a project manager. Now, at that time, me being a project manager for this company, they were the second largest property developer. So I got to experience what it was like being in big corporate. Now, at that time, I was quite entrepreneurial. I had all these ideas, and a lot of this had started as me being a project manager, being dealt with problems and having to find solutions. At the age of 23, I worked my way up to head project manager, and I was basically running the show, over 100 homes under construction, and I was managing that. Now, there was big issues, the main one being labor shortages, both on the admin side and the other one on the manual side. So the admin side being people working on desktops, computers, PCs. And the other side was the manual, so hard physical labor. There were two, those were the main shortages. Now, we were going for a struggle in finding and securing high quality talents. There was large turnovers. Like I said, New Zealand's quite small. You don't have an abundance of talents that you can choose from.
Now, that's where I had. So you came to the Philippines,
yeah? Oh, well, this was me as an employee. I expressed this to the directors, and miraculously, they actually opened up an office in Cebu, Philippines.
Right.
And
well done. How many staff do they have there?
So they, at the peak, they had 1/3 of the staff were Philippines. So we're looking at about 50 to 70. Right. And what that meant was I had a bunch of, I used to do all the taskings myself, but then I now had assistant project manager and assistant quantity surveyor. Basically, I had specialized virtual assistants, and it meant that I could really focus on what I do best and really delegate the rest to the Cebu team back in the Philippines.
So it sounds like you were progressing really well. Like you had a bit of a rough start professionally. You know, you didn't get your qualifications. You were starting off as a laborer, but you worked up really, you know, fast, and you showed your capabilities within the country's second biggest builder. They had got an offshore site because of your suggestions. Like, it sounds like you were performing really, really well within this environment. Like, What made you take that step then to go out on your own? Is it just that entrepreneurial pull that you felt you had to do this yourself?
I felt like I had something I needed to prove, you know, prove myself wrong. Me kind of taking the easy way out earlier. Just I had to work as hard as I can with it, you know. Basically, it was basically adapting the Filipino work culture. So working extremely hard and just having that goal of, okay, this is where I want to be in life. But yeah, I had a team of outsourcing staffing working for me as an employee. And I really got to experience the first hands of what it was like being an employee with an outsourcing team. And all I can say is it is the most beneficial thing that you could have, whether you are an employer that have employees that is thinking of outsourcing staffing. I cannot speak any highly of it. It makes the whole thing more efficient. The operations just becomes way more effective.
Good. So if you got a taste of outsourcing, you got an insight into the industry. You know, your career has been fairly brief, but you put it all on red and you're going long into the outsourcing industry. What was your mission in terms of what you're going to build? Did you you know, how are you going to do things differently? Are you just looking to get a few staff and make a few quid, or are you really looking to turn the industry on its head? What is your sort of driving philosophy with Apex outsourcing as a result of what you've seen and, you know, then what you want to build? Is there anything yes. radically different, or are you just saying, look, I just want to build a good, sustainable business?
Yes. So Apex outsourcing is focused on small to medium enterprises. And it started off by me with my own entrepreneurial journey, trying to start a business in New Zealand, where just going locally is dramatically more expensive than if I were to go and outsource in the Philippines or India. And that actually came with the same thing in terms of staffing. The cost difference when it comes to staffing in New Zealand compared to Philippines is dramatically lower, but you can also find abundance of staffing talents across there compared to New Zealand, mm-hmm. as Philippines is a population of about 112 million, and they have a very robust education system. They speak very good English as well, which is ideal for any Western country.
And what's the situation in New Zealand? I really haven't been back to New Zealand in about 25 years. That makes me sound super old, and that's kind of crazy. But obviously, salaries are increasing in New Zealand, as you've mentioned a couple of times. You know, staff shortages are rife in New Zealand. You know, to be honest, it's like, that's the same everywhere, isn't it? You know, like it's an amazing sort of situation we find ourselves in. But having said that, the New Zealand dollar is relatively weak compared to a global scale. Salaries are somewhat less than in the US market, for example. So what sort of savings can you make, do you think, by outsourcing someone from the Philippines versus, you know, hiring someone traditionally in New Zealand? Can you sort of, you know, like roughly for what would you pay a developer in New Zealand versus Philippines? What would you pay an administrator? What would you pay a salesperson? Do you have kind of a sense of what people would save?
Yeah. So I've moved up here in Manila, but I've been speaking to, you know, a few close people back home, and New Zealand is going through a bit of a rough time. They're going through a recession. And so currently, you know, a lot of businesses are quite, you know, struggling. They need to save on costs. And that is where Apex comes in hand, for example, or any offshoring company to help save on costs. And generally, like from my experience, you know, I have quoted from, you know, a developer just to get a standard website built can cost tens of thousands, whereas offshoring into the Philippines can be anything from half the price to even more. We're talking even like up to 70%, which is, you know, what is great for business owners, but it also helps him scale and grow even more.
Yeah. Okay. And are you looking to help people with projects? I mean, you come from a project management background. You've just mentioned websites there. Are you sort of helping people with kind of projects, or are you generally doing the staff augmentation model where you're going to hire staff to work alongside other staff?
Yeah. So it started off with me doing my own outsourcing. I actually outsourced, you know, my websites getting built in the Philippines, and I ended up showing it to people that I knew close by, and I was like, hey, this is what I got built outsourcing in the Philippines. And they were like, wow. And then I told them how much it cost, you know, to build it outsourcing in the Philippines. And it got a really good response. And what happened is I had people then inquiring to me like, hey, I want to get this done, but it's too expensive for me to get this built, or say like hire staff in New Zealand. It all started off with me just getting a website built for someone. And then what happened is their business brought in lots of new clients. And then what happened is they needed staffing to help with their virtual needs, because we tend to focus on your small, medium businesses, which is like just a one person business owner.
I didn't realize this, but I have heard this a little bit recently, but it has just entered into a recession, hasn't it? It's at the first quarter of, well, two quarters of shrinkage, which is yes. a shame. And what I have heard as well is, you know, I wish it was different, But outsourcing should be counter-cyclical. When other people are having a hard time, they turn to outsourcing to make savings. But often yes. what you do find as well is they do cut their offshore teams because they see a big invoice coming through every month, and then that is in line to be cut, which, you know, is unfortunate. But hopefully people kind of put more faith into outsourcing. If the teams are performing well, then they can hold on to those players and, you know, make savings elsewhere. But it's a bit of a mixed picture as to whether outsourcing is necessarily counter-cyclical or not. Certainly,
yes, it
should play out to be. And so you mentioned this, but you know, off the back of a trip to the Philippines, you have now relocated to the Philippines. You've just moved to Manila, to Rockwell, actually, a place where I have spent about 8 years, the last 8 years of my life. So I know it dearly, and congratulations. That's a big move. Yeah. What are your family and friends thinking of you actually relocating out to the Philippines? Are they worried for you?
No, I've actually been telling all the great stories here in the Philippines, and they are jealous and want to move here, especially with the great weather. Yeah. New Zealand's cold, Philippines is hot. Oh,
That's great. And so what are some of your first impressions then, like moving to the country, and how do you think it's actually going to help you operate your business? Like, there are some obvious things, but where do you think the advantages to actually getting yourself over into the Philippines?
Yeah, so ever since I moved here, I have said that this place is extremely underrated. It's almost like a hidden gem in the world. It is a great place for living, but it's also a great place for business. A good sign that you can see if a country is really booming is by looking at their construction. I look everywhere I walk or drive, you know, anywhere in Manila, and all I see is construction. All I see is large skyscrapers being built everywhere. And it is amazing to see all the large companies. You see the large corporations here are all in Manila. And it's a sign for that, you know, your small businesses, this is the place that you need to go in terms of for outsourcing I've kind of stumbled over my words.
No, I get the point. Yeah, I mean, there's a huge, you know, and the main thing pushing the economic prosperity of the Philippines is outsourcing. Over the last 15 yes. years, it has created the middle class in the Philippines. Typically with emerging economies, you don't have a middle class. You have the elite and you have the poor and impoverished. And it's pretty much the outsourcing industry that has built the middle class in the Philippines. And certainly over the last sort of 15, 20 years, it now contributes about sort of $25 billion to the GDP. It employs nearly 2 million people now in very well-paid jobs, you know, and there's a lot of growth to come. So it's you see huge, huge amount of growth. If you do, you know, you talk about property, but if you do a commercial property analysis of how many square feet of office space you need to house 2 million people that go to work every day, you know, it's not quite the same now after COVID, but you need... You know, you need about 10 square meters per person. So that's 20 million square meters of office space that is being built specifically for the outsourcing industry. And so you see the cities just spring up. And of course, in the bottom of all of those buildings are restaurants and 7-Elevens. And, you know, there's huge economic boom that's come as a result of outsourcing.
Yeah, 100% agree. Yeah, it's been a well worth move. I actually keep telling myself I wish I moved there earlier. It's the people are extremely friendly. Like I said, working with Filipinos, they're very easy to work with. And even when it comes to business, it's the same philosophy there.
And so, you know, I'm intrigued. What's your plan of attack then to scale this? To, you know, it sounds like you're sort of feeling around for the exact sort of product market fit or service market fit, you know, whether you sort of get into the websites thing, or it could even be in construction, project management, BIM, you know, things like that, because that's your background. There's a huge demand for BIM and, you know, these kind of, I don't know, project management suite managers. Have you got a game plan, or are you just sort of feeling around, and like, where do you think your the identity of the company will sort of evolve into over the months?
I'll be honest, right now I'm more experiencing and feeling around the Philippines. Now that I've been here, I can speak from the perspective of living in Manila, the Philippines, to people in New Zealand, actually talk from experience on, hey, this is the Philippines. This is why you should come and outsource in the Philippines. Me being here in the actual location, whereas me being in New Zealand, the hard thing that I dealt with was it's not as credible if I am based in New Zealand and promoting outsourcing, where if I am here in Philippines, for example, promoting outsourcing, promoting the services, that is where I can really grow and show the credibility side.
Yeah. And is there any sort of sector you're focusing on, or, you know, is it, what are you looking to? And also, how are you going to target your market? Have you thought about these things in terms of, you know, you have a lot of contacts in New Zealand, and, you know, that's obviously your home. Do you find that it's going to be easier to sell into New Zealand, or because it is, you know, a significantly smaller economy, is it better to sell into the US and Australia and, you know, kind of look at it from a global perspective? What are you thinking in terms of that?
Yeah, well, to be honest, since I've moved here, it has been easier for me to promote the services in New Zealand. I do want to move eventually into Australia, as that is a bigger economy and bigger market. But yeah, currently we are just focused on really focusing on the one man business and seeing where we can really help scale up, whether it's bringing in Filipino development team to help work on their front end and automation, or it's either bringing in the staffing solution. Because what I've noticed is with your small businesses is it's a one man person doing everything. And I can speak from experience, me being a project manager, trying to do everything. If you try to be good at everything, you kind of end up not being good at anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, some of the downsides of those one-man businesses is that they are highly volatile. You came from a company where, you know, you had sort of, you know, really good financials, really good financial reserve and things like that. Whereas a lot of the small one-man businesses, they are, you know, you get those few one-person, $1 million companies, or, you know, they're saying there's going to be a $1 billion company run by one person. That's the clear minority. A lot of one-person businesses, they're just kind of scraping by and often, you know, not even paying themselves a decent enough salary. And so they don't necessarily have the stability to bring on other people. And if you focus too much on that market, as soon as, for example, New Zealand goes into a recession, you could have 100 clients, you could find that 80 of those clients drop you because they're like, oh my God, I've got to start saving now. Versus kind of medium to larger sort of businesses, they have more resilience, they have more cash reserves. And, you know, if they've got 100 staff, laying one person off isn't so big a deal. Whereas, you know, if you've kind of overextended to hire one person, this person needs to be an absolute unicorn, needs to make the company happen. Otherwise, they're going to quickly run out of money. It's a more volatile sort of relationship. But certainly, you know, there's a lot of opportunity in that space.
Yeah, that's where I'm in the talks. And we're looking at the end of June 2024 to have an office facility in Zamboanga. It's a city in Mandaluyong. The reason why we are doing that is because I have the experience in working in the office facilities. I can promote that, but it's also so we can be, you know, diversify. So we're not just relying on small business owners. So we can target those medium-sized owners that do have the cash, for example. It means we can bring the costs down a lot more, the operating costs. And I was actually there last December in talks of that. But yeah, I think starting out Manila is bit too expensive on my end.
Manila is actually a pretty significantly expensive place now. Like property prices are quite expensive and salaries are significantly more expensive. Probably very equivalent to what you would see in New Zealand, kind of like Auckland versus, you know, name your sort of small beachside town kind of thing. But okay, that's fantastic. And so what about pricing as well? I'm sort of going through the gambit here, I hope you don't mind, but what are your thoughts on pricing? Have you settled on a sort of productized service or simple pricing, or is it sort of according to the needs of the client? How are you working on the price structure of the service?
Yeah, our price structuring is quite simple and it's more needed on the client, but I do like to express that we don't like to be the cheapest. I have, throughout my experience on doing my own personal outsourcing, is me trying to pay for the cheapest, I end up not getting the result I want. Whereas if I just pay just a little bit above the average in terms of the Philippines salary, I actually get a really good, even above average, a really excellent service. So our pricing is more, I like to clarify that we don't like to be the cheapest. We try to be more on a high-end service when it comes to outsourcing. And it means we can, target,
No, yeah, that's good. I mean, there's two factors there, really. The major component is the person's salary. And again, just like in New Zealand or anywhere in the world, if you get, the cheapest, youngest graduates with least experience, and they don't really know what they're doing, they're going to be very cheap. And also, if they come from provincial towns and things like that, in the Philippines, you can hire people for $200 per month. Okay. And
yes,
people will be shocked at that. And that's a full-time dedicated staff member, and even a little bit cheaper. But will they be able to contribute? Will they be able to actually do things of value within your business? Will they be able to add value as opposed to, you're sort of kind of babysitting people then? And I always stress that people should really pay in the upper tier of candidates and ideally, source them from very strong locations, because generally very highly skilled people pool in certain locations. For example, in the US, you get most of the big shots in New York and San Francisco. Now that's a little bit unfair, but it's kind of reality. So, I strongly, strongly, strongly encourage people to pay higher salaries and select the best. In terms of the service wrapper though, there's different ways to play that. And then, it's whether you have home-based or whether you have office-based, and whether also the outsourcing firm is going to come in and help facilitate the implementation of that staff member. Do they cooperate? Do they co-parent with you? And of course, if that happens, then there's sort of more service fees to be drawn from there. So lot to explore with that. Well done. And do you have projections? You have, where are you aiming to be by the end of this year?
By the end of this year, we're looking to be, fully established, to have the office facility up and running. So we have two main departments all running. So we have the development side, and that is helping, whether it's existing or startup businesses get their foothold in the market. So it's setting up their website, app development, all those kind of niches. And then we have the second department, which is the outsourcing staffing solutions, which is then brought on to bringing on staffing to New Zealand and then eventually in Australia and so on.
That's good. And so well done. Look, you're on this journey. You are going to learn so much, and it's going to be up and down, but you have taken the step. You've committed, you've moved over to the Philippines. You've done, you're far bolder than the vast majority. You've got a lot of drive. Yep. And it's really exciting.
No,
and I think that's important, but it doesn't necessarily get easier as a result of being all in. You still have to work hard, you have to drive, and to some extent you have to get a little bit lucky, and you have to find that key to unlock that lock, and sort of really hone in on product market fit. Who is your ideal candidate? What's the ideal product or service? Ideal pricing, and that takes a lot of refinement, but it's an exciting journey for you. Well done.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Also, look, we generally ask people, we'll kind of wind down now, but we generally ask people about AI, and you're a young man yourself on the forefront of technology. And a lot of the bigger BPOs, a lot of the bigger outsourcing are getting quite scared of other people dismiss it, say, you know, it's not really going to impact us. How are you feeling about these latest tools and the implications for staffing if these tools are actually going to undermine the need for staffing? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I'm actually quite invested into AI. Instead, you know, you see a lot of people, they're either fighting against AI, but in all honesty, I think you have to ride the train and be all up to date with AI, because that is actually where we're heading in terms of the future. And I actually strongly believe that the world in about 10, even 20 years time from now is going to be outsourcing and AI integrated together. That will be the combination and what most businesses will be doing.
Yeah. No, look, I think you've got to embrace the enemy, haven't you? And you've got to make lemon out of lemonade or whatever. Lemonade out of lemon. Yeah. But it's definitely something that's not going away. And I think, you know, we're ultimately in the productivity game, aren't we? And the output game. And so whether it's humans or algorithms or AI that's doing it, we need to embrace that. So it's an exciting future. One other thing you need to consider, Matt. It's scarier when you have a business, like there's just so many things to focus on, you know. And how do you decide to focus? Like, are you sort of doing many things at the moment, or are you just sort of trying to focus on one or two critical things? Like, how are you finding your work day or your work month?
Right now, I'm just really focusing on one to two core things at the moment. So the core thing right now is really just settling in. And then the second is just getting the office facility up and running. And then we can move on from there. Just a lot of this moving here is just for growth and a major learning experience, so I can really scale up, you know, make lots of mistakes and then learn from there and keep going forward.
Yeah, no, that's great. As I said, look, it's a big bold move, and a lot of people start outsourcing from somewhere else. And I think your level of learning, your level of appreciation of what can be done, and it will just sort of skyrocket as a result of you being in the heart of global outsourcing. So yeah, you're certainly demonstrating your commitment to this. So congratulations. Matheson, as always, I encourage people to check you out, to reach out. How can they get in touch?
Yes, so you can either contact me via email. So it's matheson.moller@apexoutsourcing.co. That's without an M. Or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn, which my username is just Matheson Moller. And our website is apexoutsourcing.co. So yes, thank you very much.
Matheson, thank you. That was Matheson Moller. He is the founder and director of apexoutsourcing.co. As always, if you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. And if you want to ask us anything, just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.